And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
Look, I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but boy, is it exciting.
With Dan the Mo Flabransky.
Everyone has a price.
And Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
In clear violation of the law.
Extreme Rules, Fight for the Fallen, Evolve 10th Anniversary, UFC Fight Night 155, and the G1. It has been a very busy weekend, and we are here to round it up and chat with you about it tonight. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Canada's premier wrestling radio show, Sunday Night's Main Event, coming at you live. Yes, we are live tonight on TSN Radio. My name is Jason Agnew, and it's a pay-per-view night, and that means across from me, the axe to my smash, the arm to my tully, the anvil to my Brett. He is the mouth and mouth. A big weekend and a big cash-in?
This is amazing. I know, like you said, we have all these great things to talk about, and we're ending it off just minutes away from getting the big cash-in at the end of Extreme Rules. Brock Lesnar is the new champion. We have so much to talk about, so let's stop fooling around, Jay, and get right to it.
We're looking for your phone calls tonight. It's our live show of the month. 1-866-729-2562 is the number to call. 1-866-729-2562. We're going to take a break. We're going to come on back. Yeah, Meltzer and Turnbuckle Trivia and all that. It's an exciting night. It's a busy weekend. And we are going to run on down Extreme Rules featuring a cash-in and a very agile Undertaker. You're listening yes. to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Hey there. I'm Morty Jenkinson. When I'm not coaching the offspring in soccer, baseball, or wrestling, cutting the lawn, or playing taxi, it's shirts off, Crocs on, slather on the SPF 100, fire up the barbecue, and crank up the Bob Seger, while lounging in the kiddie pool, of course. Ryan Reynolds wishes he was me. Over my dad body Pilsner from Great Lakes Brewery, now available at your local LCBO.
Brock Lesnar is cashing in his Money in the Bank contract.
Lesnar's cashing in tonight at Extreme Rules. The Beast is stalking the champion. The big smile on the face of Lesnar.
It is now official.
Lesnar with Rollins up top. And F5. And F5. Covered by Lesnar. Hook of the leg. Lesnar's the champion.
Alrighty, well, that was how we finished up the night tonight. And Mouth, I gotta say, completely unexpected.
Extreme. That was extreme, Jay. That was fucking extreme. You gotta admit it. That was totally extreme.
Well, I'm very surprised at it. I mean, I've been the person who has been on the air constantly over and over again saying, don't worry about the cash-in. It's gonna happen on Fox and it's gonna happen on Kofi. And I had convinced myself that. I'm absolutely wrong. And honestly, I can't say that this is necessarily for the better. Mm-mm. I'm curious as to what's going to happen here, and I'm curious as to when Brock is going to defend his WWE Raw Women's title.
Exactly. It's so strange because there was such
a Wait a minute. Did you not catch what I just said?
Yeah, about him defending the women's
title.
The
women's title. Yeah. Well, because he wins both.
No, he doesn't.
Does Sable get it?
No.
Rena Merrill back in a WWE ring? Henry getting ready to move those bowels?
I'm afraid that thankfully none of those things are going to happen. I don't think he gets the women's title, but certainly a super surprise. After that, there was such a buildup with this mixed tag, and it was such a big focus of the show. I don't know if it's the right place either. To me, it kind of negates the whole pay-per-view. It just didn't seem to be like the right time for me, you know what I mean? It's not that it's an afterthought, because we got the tease from Heyman during the pay-per-view, but I just really think it wasn't needed here.
No, you bring up afterthought, and I think that that's a good thing to say, because now, to me, and I think to people watching, that match itself becomes an afterthought.
It is.
As opposed to... Because there's a certain amount of drama that transpired at the end of that match. You had Baron Corbin give the end of days to Becky, and then Seth go crazy. That's a big moment, because that's man-on-woman violence, which you don't see in WWE.
WWE.
Right. And then Seth came right back and did the noble thing and beat him up and won the title. That should have been end
That's
of the
it.
Show, right?
That's
there.
All I need.
Like, in terms of the drama and story, that was this. And this whole thing with Brock just negates that whole thing.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't need that tonight.
No.
I thought that, I even thought it might have been a better finish at the end if Becky had, because Becky didn't get back at Baron.
Not really.
And she needs
didn't.
To.
Right, right.
That needs to happen. And right. I think it should do the end of days, takes her out, and then Seth goes crazy, and then she's back up, and Baron taps to the disarmer. Like, to me,
right.
that's the retribution there that we didn't
Which
see.
We
and
didn't
maybe
get,
we see
no.
that down the line. But now you have these entities separated because the new focus is Brock Lesnar once again and the title. And, honestly, unfortunately, it's going to lead us back to Seth Rollins and Baron and Brock Lesnar, which I'm not necessarily that interested in seeing.
Yeah,
part of
it.
My wishful thinking in regards to the Kofi Kingston cash-in was Brock throwing Kofi around.
Right, right, because Kofi and him would work together.
Yes. Well,
but yeah, this, I don't know. I really don't understand it. You're right. It puts us back with a match in a program we've already seen before. It totally separates Seth and Becky, which might not be a bad thing anyways, but I just
it could be a bad thing for them, though.
Well,
you know what happens, like
that's
with
true.
Wrestling relationships that are played out on camera and then separated.
That is true. It tends to happen, but I it's just so strange, so alarming. You had a full on show with a lot of stuff that took place. I just really didn't. It's like they almost felt they had to squeeze this in at the last minute, and you didn't. It wasn't needed.
So let's go back to the very beginning. There were a few surprises on tonight's card. By the way, welcome back. Hey, it's Sunday night's main event. We are live tonight on TSN Radio. We're going to run down Extreme Rules, and then we're going to get to your phone calls. And by the way, it's your phone calls on Extreme Rules and everything that's happened this weekend, and we're going to try to cover all of it in the 2 hours that we got here. 1-866-729-2562 is the number to call. So going back to, the pre-show, there's a whole bunch of stuff that happened. Well, not really stuff that happened. The first match of the night was the Intercontinental Championship, and it was Finn Balor versus Nakamura. And Nakamura gets the clean win here.
Yep.
And to me, Mouth, all this was sending that message right to Rusev, saying you're sitting at home and look at your partner with the belt.
Yeah, he's now got the title. Absolutely. I mean, it's obviously something along those lines because it was a clean. He beat Balor twice. He beat him on the TV this week, and he beat him at the pay-per-view clean. So there you go.
And really, what I think this may, for Balor, what it may point to is he's been removed from the title. He's on a losing streak.
Demon?
Not necessarily. For a heel turn and time to put that the club back together.
Right, 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 right.
Because they're pushing that now with AJ tonight. A lot of title changes tonight, if you think about it. Cruiserweight Championship was second. Tony Nese versus Drew Gulak. And you know, Mouth, I don't think that Nese needs the title back, but if they were at all thinking of doing that, this would have been a match to do it in with Drew Gulak participating in Evolve.
If they wanted to acknowledge the storyline, Jay, it would have been a great place to do it. Unfortunately, they felt they did not want to acknowledge the storyline and completely ignored the fact that Gulak wrestled the night before on the Evolve show and lost to Matt Riddle. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you're right. If they did want to put it back, you would have had a story saying he had this intense match the night before. He's not 100%. He got beat.
WWE was all about mentioning Evolve before the event. But just seemed to ignore it afterwards.
It was funny because they went back to the desk after the match and Sam Roberts mentioned it.
Yes, he did.
He is the only guy.
He's the only
one. The commentators, nobody else. Yeah. I don't even know. He probably wasn't supposed to, but I thought that was really weird in this day and age when you have this kind of thing to ignore something that happened the night before on your own network.
Yeah.
For God's sake. I just thought that was just stupid.
Gulak is in his hometown, so the crowd was a little bit behind him. I mean, as much as they're going to be behind anyone for a pre-show match.
Yeah.
And despite being in his hometown, he does win.
Yeah.
Unlike WWE regularly
Bailey.
Does. Yeah. Anything to say about this one?
No.
No? Okay. We'll move along to the main show. Lots to cover tonight. Many, many matches. It's a no-holds-barred match. Shane McMahon, Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns, Undertaker. By the way, to open the show, and I guess we now know why. Because, you know, you had Brock Lesnar here at the end, so they didn't want to put this anywhere near the end. You really wanted to space this out.
That's right. So they wanted that cash in as the last thing we saw to end the show. Right. Okay.
And they decided to put this first. Listen, this thing started at 7, the pay-per-view did. Once the intros happened, it was 7:18 p.m.
Before the match started, yes.
But I have to say, as much as we have been hypercritical of The Undertaker in the Goldberg match and previous matches with Triple H and the Saudi stuff, blah, blah, blah. He looked like a spring chicken out there tonight.
Jay, I would say he kicked ass tonight. I could not believe how fantastic he looked. He moved. His movement, he's running all over the place. He did all kinds of great stunts in this and power bombs. He didn't mess anything up. Like... He was in the match a lot. Wasn't just like get the heat on Reigns and get a hot tag on Taker. That is not what they did, and so it was unbelievable, man. Some of the stuff they did in this, we had Taker was about to powerbomb Shane at one point. Elias came out, he got involved. They took out Taker, they put him on the desk, of course. So Shane's got to have his big spot, of course. He did his stupid elbow off the ring there and put Undertaker through the desk. They dragged Taker into the ring, and Shane got to do the coast to coast as well, mm-hmm. where he rips off Rob Van Dam there with the Van Daminator. And so this Shane really got to shine in this match. McIntyre was a complete non-entity in this match, and I don't know, you were mentioning that the program is to go to McIntyre and Taker.
That's the advertising.
I saw no interest for that coming out of this match, and then Taker gave Shane the tombstone to win the match, and I have written down here, why was this first? But of course, we know why it was first.
I guess just to separate it, they didn't want to put...
Yeah, I can totally understand it now.
Yeah. We have an interview. It's with Becky and Seth. They're terrible in interviews together, and that continues on. The scripting is awful here. Becky refers to Lacey's
really
career as pigeon crap. There's an announcement of Raw Reunion, which will be coming up in 2 weeks' time, which is basically a retro Raw type of deal. A lot of people coming back. Stone Cold was shown.
Flair.
Eric Bischoff shown.
Ted
Flair,
DiBiase. Yeah, lots of guys.
Raw tag titles are up next. Revival versus the Usos. Revival retains here. I mean, this was fine to me.
Yep.
No better, no worse than anything we'd see on TV each week.
Yep. I thought the two teams worked together really well. Yep.
I did wonder why they put the first tag match and followed it up with another tag match. I don't know why we couldn't have put a singles match in here.
I don't think it really mattered. I don't think it messed with the flow or anything. I didn't really bother me.
Match number three was Aleister Black versus Cesaro. Cesaro, of course, answering the terrible promos of Aleister Black, which hopefully they stop now, and then I'll thank Cesaro for that. I'm not really sure if Cesaro was the right guy for this challenge.
Well, it's a tough one when you're doing these kind of things, because when you put someone like Cesaro in, it's like when you put Dolph Ziggler in. People just don't buy into the guy. They've seen him be defeated for so long. They've seen him as, a mid to low card guy. So, and it was shown by the crowd reaction. The crowd was very quiet during this match because no one believes that Cesaro can beat him. Everyone knows that Black is the new guy and that Black's going to get the win here. And that's exactly what happened. He got the Black Mask kick and pinned Cesaro, and there you go. Let's move on.
Do you think that is the case, though? I mean, that this is a one and done?
Yes.
Yeah,
I think
Aleister Black, is he going to go back into the dark room and ask for new people to knock on the door?
I hope not. I hope they don't take that route. But what's the point of doing anything with Cesaro? He pinned him clean. He won. No one's going to believe that Cesaro can do anything to stop him. So I don't see what the point is to go any farther.
Rematch this week on TV. Truth is putting up flyers looking for Hornswoggle / Drake Maverick. I'm actually happy they didn't proceed any further with the 24/7
title.
No,
it was
tonight.
Left off the show altogether after this.
Which it should be. It doesn't necessarily...
It's a TV thing.
If they're going to do that, then they should program actual matches for it.
It's
only between two people on a pay-per-view.
I like it as a fill-in TV thing. You've got 3 hours to fill every week. Just do it on the TV.
5 hours to fill every week.
Okay.
They bump into Alexa coming out of the washroom, then Nikki comes out of there too, because I guess girls go to the washroom together, according to WWE. Alexa gives Nikki a gift. It's a t-shirt. Don't know why she couldn't do that in the washroom. Don't know why they're following each other around. Street Profits show up.
Jay.
I don't get it. Street Profits show up to hype the match and ask where the party's at after they win, because Street Profits just like to hype WWE events when they're on the main roster, unlike the fun promos they used to do on the NXT
roster.
Yeah,
it's like they're just shills now, almost.
That's all they are.
Yeah.
They're like... Why can't I think of his name? The Impact Wrestling guy who used to be on...
With Tanae, Don West.
West, Don thank
West.
You. Don
yeah.
West.
Don
thank
West.
You, Jeremy. They're like Don West. They just shill things. Alexa and Nikki say they're going to be the SmackDown Women's Co-Champions, and the Profits make fun of them. And then apparently Dawkins has a crush on Nikki. SmackDown Women's Championship, it's a handicap match. It's Alexa and Nikki versus Bayley, your champion. Corey Graves does mention off the top of this, remember when Bayley had a best friend and then she just abandoned her?
But didn't say her name.
No.
Didn't say Sasha's name. Yeah, exactly. Didn't say Sasha's name.
Nothing really wrong with this match, but it's always hard to work a handicap match and make it good and make
yes.
it work. And I was kind of surprised that Bayley overcame both of them to retain her title. And the crowd still didn't care.
No, they were very indifferent to Bayley, that's for sure. I did enjoy the one spot where Bayley was able to put them both in submission holds at the same time. I thought that was a really cool looking visual.
Getting into it was awkward.
Yes, it was.
Very
for
awkward.
Sure, for sure. Yeah, we weren't sure what Bayley was trying to do there.
No, I wasn't sure, but Alexa just flopped down beside her and was like, hey, put me in this.
Yes, put me in a headlock now. And Bayley retained with her Macho Man elbow off the top on Nikki and got the pin. So, yeah, Bayley keeps the title.
Last man standing match was next. Braun Strowman recovering from his ruptured spleen 2 weeks ago versus Bobby Lashley. Honestly, I had no interest in this match.
Well, because you know what? Most last man standing matches are all the same, especially in the WWE. They're the same. They fight around the ring. They go into the crowd.
Yeah.
They come back again. They fight around the ring. They go back into the crowd. They do a spectacular spot to finish. And that's exactly what this match did.
It's not necessarily that with me, though. I mean, you can do innovative things. You can do fun things. You can have some cool
spots.
But
they don't, though.
This, to me, it was just these two guys are still working together, and it's enough already. And again, the suspension of disbelief, if you're going to have Braun Strowman and say he has a ruptured spleen, come on. Like, I don't need to see him back here within 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Yeah, but
he has a concussion.
That's
something
else. Look, Jay Hogan used to go to the hospital during the show and show up an hour later.
Hospital or medical facility?
Whatever they want to call it. I don't care. I mean, you didn't buy into Braun suplexing Lashley into the t-shirts?
Well, that was a dumb spot because obviously the ground is where the impact
like
actually
Like I said,
happens.
To me, these matches, they just all have a real simple template and no one seems to deviate.
But Mouth, they deviated.
They didn't.
They did.
How?
They went to the other announce tables.
Oh, okay. I'll give you that. For the first time ever,
yes,
we saw someone outside of the Spanish announce table get manhandled, and I don't think they were warned in advance either.
It was fun.
They got completely squashed when it happened. So, anyways, we had the fight into the concessions. Braun suplex Lashley into the t-shirts. They went back down the stairs again. Lashley buried Strowman under a desk, but he got out before the count. Of 10. Jay predicted it right. He said that someone would get buried at one point, which did happen. Lashley got thrown into the international announce desk, and it just freaked the hell out of them. They did not know what was coming. Then they went back into the crowd, and it looked like a fan tried to run at Braun or something. I wasn't quite sure what happened there. It was very quick. Strowman power slammed Lashley off some kind of ramp. They were up on some kind of ramp, and he threw him into this dark area that we couldn't see because it was filled with crash pads. So they would land, Lashley would land nice and safely. And the referee started the count at that point, and Strowman pulled either an Incredible Hulk or Kool-Aid Man. Busted through the wall and beat the count. So he wins. He was the last man standing. Whatever. To me, it's just that the matches always seem to be kind of the same thing to me.
I found the crowd tonight, especially being a Philly crowd, which I normally very much enjoy.
Yes, quite animated.
I found them annoying tonight. There was just so many "this is awesome" chants.
During things that were not even remotely awesome.
Yeah. It's just
But you know what?
Overdone.
That happens a lot now.
It happens
a lot where people start chants where they're not really deserving.
But I hold the Philadelphia audience in a higher regard.
Wow.
I guess that audience is gone.
It was at Evolve last night.
That's where that audience was.
Yeah, and think about it. A lot of them would not be watching WWE. Yeah, even if it is Extreme Rules.
There's an interview in Charlie's with the newly reunited club. They try to too sweet, but she can't reach, and then they deny her that, and it doesn't matter. The SmackDown Tag Championship is next. Heavy Machinery versus The New Day versus Rowan and Daniel Bryan. I really found in this match that they put a big spotlight on Tucker and Otis, Heavy Machinery. I found them rather dominant in the match, and I liked what they did here. I liked this match. I thought it was good. I think that three-way tag matches are very difficult to work and make entertaining. And I thought this definitely was. I thought that there was a really great trade-off here with Bryan smacking Big E and Big E kind of hulking up. And this actually led into the finish, which had Xavier pinning Daniel Bryan after they did their finisher on them. Going back to the New Day may have not necessarily been my choice here, but it does make sense with Kofi retaining. And now you have have New Day all in gold.
Yeah.
And I do like a faction all in gold. So honestly, Mouth, this particular match is a total thumbs up for me.
Yeah, I didn't have any problem with this. I like the New Day as tag champions. I think they're great. I think they always get involved with good programs, and they always have good matches. So I didn't really have a problem with it. I would like to see the program go with Heavy Machinery, though, rather than, say, Daniels and Roman or something like that.
Daniels and Rowan, not Roman.
Sorry, Rowan.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. I thought that Heavy Machinery, this is the best that they have looked since they've been on the main roster.
Yeah.
They were actually taken seriously as a tag team, but had fun spots as well. Mm-hmm.
And I think those two teams working together, you could have some fun stuff, yet still have some good, intense matches.
So the New Day celebrating in the back with Kayla, and then before they can even talk, Paul Heyman comes out, just takes the microphone, walks out onto the ramp, does his spiel about, I am Paul Heyman and I am Extreme.
I am Philadelphia.
I am everything Extreme. It's great. And he ended by saying, he's talking about Brock cashing in. He's like, am I telling the truth or am I Paul Heyman? Perfect.
Yeah.
And honestly, that for me was like, Brock's not there.
That's it, exactly.
Brock's not there.
That's it. And kudos to Heyman for making us think that because he came out and absolutely, me as well, absolutely convinced me that, he's just running his mouth again. Brock's probably not even there.
So actually, not only kudos to Heyman, but kudos to WWE for continually wheeling him out there to do this, to desensitize us.
Right. So we just, whatever, right.
And that's why we fell for it. Yeah. But unfortunately, still didn't like the cash.
No, I was at the wrong place.
Match number seven, U.S. Championship, AJ Styles with Gallows and Anderson versus Ricochet. Ricochet, of course, your champion. A good match, but not a great match. It was based a lot around Gallows and Anderson cheating at ringside AJ could win.
That's exactly it as well. Ricochet trying to get past the interference of Anderson and Gallows. I mean, they attacked Ricochet before the match even began. Styles had a big chunk of the match early on as well, and he did the reverse. He actually did the reverse Styles class off the post and pinned Ricochet with that, which I thought was kind of strange. Ricochet just won the title last month at Stomping Grounds. I thought it was a really short title reign for the guy.
You didn't just think it. It was.
I was kind of confused. I thought they were kind of getting behind him a little bit, but I don't know. I mean, maybe he continues to feud with these guys? I don't know. I'm not sure. Does Ricochet put together his own little group?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens and Dolph Ziggler was next. And at this point, it was about 10 o'clock. And we're like, we're not going to be on the air at 11. Until Owens and Ziggler got in the ring, and in 5 seconds, Owens stuns Ziggler and wins.
That was it.
He cuts a Stone Cold Steve Austin style promo.
On Shane.
And
it was great.
It's interesting in regards to what they're doing here, because the whole path that seems to be leading towards Roman and Shane, I think, is no more. And now it's clearly shifted to Owens and
Shane. I agree. I mean, you can't cut promos like that and not start a program between the two of them. It would be absolutely ridiculous for Shane to ignore what he's saying. And the fact that it was Shane cutting him off on the mic on SmackDown and stuff. So, yeah, I think that's exactly where we're headed here.
Do you think on Raw Reunion, Owens and Austin chug beers together to get the rub?
Whoa, you know what? Yeah, I could totally see that happening. Absolutely. Yep, I totally could.
We move along, and match number nine, we had a promo with Joe here, and he says he's going to put an end to the unexceptional reign of Kofi Kingston, and then that is your next match, the WWE Championship. Kofi Kingston is your champion going in, facing Samoa Joe. Joe takes the majority of this match, and Kofi lucks out to get the win.
It was a total fluke win, got the Trouble to Paradise out of nowhere. It was only 10 minutes, too. Yeah. It was a very, very short match. So, once again, well, it doesn't matter. Because now that he's lost this, he'll get another title shot anyways.
Joe, that's what he does. He falls upward.
Yeah, exactly. Joe will just end up being in the next title program with someone else.
Winners take all mixed tag team match for the Raw Women's Title and Universal Championship. So said Mike Rome to introduce this next match. Lacey Evans has Seth written on her butt. Becky and Seth have matching gear that look like Man and Lady Rogue from X-Men.
I thought they looked like bumblebees.
Well, the kendo sticks come out here. We get chairs, we get tables, and the one thing I'm going to say about this match is that at least they did save these for this match primarily.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. For even though the show was called Extreme Rules, you know, we didn't have a tables match, we didn't have a ladder match, we didn't have a chair match, and yeah, we had the no holds barred to open the show.
I mean, you're more so laying out what the TLC card looks like,
right?
And this one more so, yeah, we had a bunch of no holds barred, and we had the false count anywhere, and we had the last man standing.
Yeah.
So that was more so the motif here, and that was smart in regards to leaving the plunder for this match.
Exactly.
It did need it. This is already, you know, mixed tag format is very tough to book, and that's multiplied by the fact that the stipulation here is ridiculous when one person loses and both of the titles are gone. But overall, if you look at this match and the disaster it could have been with Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans in the main event, I was not offended by this match.
No.
Is that kudos to it?
Yeah, I would say so, absolutely. I thought the match was evenly balanced out. They did some crazy spots, the one where they put both Lacey and Corbin on tables.
Beautiful.
And then did a kind of like a tag team dive off the top through both tables. And
yeah,
looked spectacular, yet fairly safe.
Well, Seth had the biggest risk going on.
But still pulled it off good.
Yeah.
And then the big finish to start the whole thing rolling here to what happened was Corbin gave Becky the end of day. So we saw the man on woman, which he hadn't seen the entire match, and makes him the dastardly heel. So this was really good, and Rollins played it up great. He went nuts. He attacked Corbin with chairs and the Singapore cane, and gave him a curb stomp, and then he gave him a second curb stomp, and then he gave him a third curb stomp, and he manages to get the win. And as soon as he gets the pin, Brock music hits. Out he comes with Heyman. He gives him two Germans, calls for the cash in, the bell rings, gives him one F5, pins him. There you go. The show ends with Brock as champion. And like as we've said so far, I don't know. I just didn't think this was the spot to do it.
Me neither.
But they have done it. They pulled the trigger.
Overall, though, generally, I thought this pay-per-view was pretty decent.
Yep.
I'll tell you right now.
It wasn't like a killer show, but it was still a good show.
I liked it better than Fight for the Fallen.
Well, yeah, I would. You know what? I would say the same thing. And you know what? I liked it more than the Evolve show, too,
me
actually.
Me too. Call in. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
Give us the hate.
We've thrown the gauntlet down.
At SNME Radio on Twitter, the Sunday Night Survey is up there. What was your favorite wrestling show of the weekend? You have the four options that we'll be talking about tonight: AEW, WWE, Evolve, and G1. It's up there right now. Go vote. We are going to take a break. We're going to come on back taking your phone calls. Phone lines are open. 1-866-729-2562. All of those cards are up for grabs to chat about. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event, and you're doing so on TSN Radio.
If you like wrestling, then your friends probably do too. And there's no better gift for a friend than a sweet wrestling t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com.
The Festival of Friendship!
From Ring of Honor, New Japan, and the Independents.
Superkick!
To classic superstars like Shawn Michaels, Andre the Giant, and the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
The cream of the crop!
Find the perfect gift for the wrestling fan in your life at ProWrestlingTees.com.
Hi, I'm Bartender Dave.
And I'm Danny Williams.
And we would like for you to answer the call. The Call to Arms podcast.
The 5-star rated podcast on iTunes.
And we talk about wrestling, but in a different way.
We're not just doing recaps of what you've already watched and digested.
And that's not a work.
And the best part is that it's all free.
It's the Call to Arms podcast, hosted by the award-winning Bartender Dave and Danny Williams.
Follow us on Twitter at Call to Arms Pod.
And now, sending Shane McMahon to the gallows! Undertaker wants to toy with Shane. Middle of the ring. Tombstone pile driver.
One, two, three.
Who said the dead man's done?
Seasons don't fear the reaper, nor do the wind, the son of the rain.
That's that young up-and-comer that Gorilla Monsoon would say called
yes,
the Undertaker.
Exactly. Looking like he's just getting started. It was unbelievable. The change from the match with Goldberg in Saudi Arabia, unbelievable.
Well, for the record, I mean, I didn't think that match did fall apart after Goldberg hit his head and got the concussion. But, you know, the first 4 minutes of that match I thought were actually pretty decent. I got everything I wanted in that first four minutes. And if it had ended there, I would have been fine with it.
Yeah.
Tonight, though, an extended performance by the Undertaker. And he actually looked pretty good. Hey, welcome back. Back at Sunday night's main event, Agnew Lavransky, here in studio live with you tonight. If you want to call in, we're taking your phone calls on Extreme Rules and any of the events tonight. 1-866-729-2562 is the number to call. And the great thing about doing this show and being connected and having done it for so many years is that we have fans all over North America and the world, and that means we actually have a gentleman who was there live tonight, and
yeah,
that is Paul from New Jersey. You made your way to Philadelphia and saw this thing.
Hello?
Hey, is this Paul?
No, this is Hansi.
Oh, no, not you, Hansi. We'll get to you. Paul, how you doing?
Hey, guys.
Sorry about that, my friend. No one wants
to hear
from Hansi. Yeah, we'll get him on. Paul, you were there live. You made the trek to New Jersey. This had to be a pleasant surprise for you.
Yeah, it was. I really enjoyed the show. Me and my friend went, and I really enjoyed the Taker match. I was surprised like you guys, but my thought of the match was, I don't know what it was, but somebody hit somebody with something, and like a piece of a chair flew in and hit a guy like five rows ahead of me, and I was like, man, I wish that was me so I'd get some free swag. But still, really funny, really good show. I really liked, I think the crowd mostly got into Lashley and Strowman, and like they were like 5 feet away from us, so maybe like I was surprised what your guys' opinion on it, but maybe like, I think that's maybe more of like a live crowd thing. So like, since they were so close to us.
Yeah, hey, let me ask you this, Paul, because one of the things that I find when I go live and they fight up into the crowd is I find it very difficult to follow, and occasionally it does lose the live crowd. Did they use the screens in order to show you where these guys were? Because I've heard recently Kevin Dunn's been turning off the screens.
They had one on, but they did turn a lot off, which I think is a little silly.
Mm-hmm.
So like there were parts where we couldn't see it, but like I think I just got a high off the fact that they were like 3 feet away from us.
Right,
but the crowd didn't seem to be in it, but like, yeah, it was weird because I'd actually turned to my friend and said, it's weird that there's like not a lot of screens on. But like, I will say this in defense of our section, we never chanted, this is awesome.
Okay.
We chanted, this is kind of decent. And this
the new
this
hit
is okay.
Chant.
This is okay.
2019. Yeah. This is kind of decent.
Yeah. Hey, Paul, I'm kind of curious, after the cash-in, what was the reaction at, you know, people leaving the building? How were people taking it? Were they happy, sad, mad, upset? How were people dealing with the cash-in?
I think it was pretty mixed because I don't know if you guys heard the chants, but there was like, we want Lesnar. No, we don't.
Yeah.
I think we were like, you guys, once Heyman came out, I turned to my friend, I'm like, there's no way he's cashing in tonight. So I think there was that excitement. But like you guys said, like, it was a cool moment to see, but as soon as it happened, like, we ran out of there to get, you know, beat traffic. But like, I don't know, it was a cool thing to see live, but again, it's like, we're doing this again. And I kind of agree with Mouth, like, I was like, I couldn't believe, like, oh, you know, Baron did a move on Becky, and I thought that it did kind of take away from it. But overall, it was a really enjoyable show, and it was fun.
And when's the last time you said that after going to a live WWE show?
That's a good question. SummerSlam 97 was cool.
Wow. That's even farther back than
97.
I thought he would go.
Well, thank you very much for the call, Paul. Always appreciate hearing from you. That's terrific. All right, I guess we have to do this now. Yeah, Hansi, what
Hansi.
Do you want?
Going on, man?
Well, we're chatting, I guess. You're already chirping me tonight. So, listen, I believe it was when you were chirping me on Twitter, and it was in regards to the Last Man Standing match, right? You enjoyed watching this.
Okay, well, first of all, I enjoyed the whole pay-per-view, but I had no idea you hated the Lashley and Strowman match. I thought this feud so far has rebuilt Lashley and Strowman, actually, because, like, for the last couple of months, they've been doing nothing. I mean, Lashley hasn't been doing anything since his debut, basically.
I thought
this feud has reignited him a lot better. I wasn't trying to harp on you, but I was like, how come Agnew's hating on this? This is actually amazing. I don't know.
I find it to be a rather repetitive program. I think I've seen too much of them. I also, my suspension of disbelief left with, you know, the whole ruptured spleen thing, and now he's returning. And I think I've seen them around each other too much, and I'm not interested in either one of the characters. I don't find Lashley's character works without a mouthpiece. I never really want to hear him talk, and I don't know, maybe Braun needs something new, and I don't necessarily know what that is. He's kind of lost the monster status to me, and look at this. I mean, Hansi, he's not up in the upper echelon anymore. He's definitely slid down to mid-card.
Okay, fair enough about Strowman, because I think his time it should have been like in 2017. But Lashley, I still see an upside to. They do need a mouthpiece. But before I go, and the pay-per-view was amazing, by the way, but I thought the match, the event of the whole weekend, for me at least, was the Evolve show. Because the Evolve show, it was under 3 hours. They had a lot of matches. I wasn't familiar with everyone. There was like a lot of people I was familiar with, like Tozawa. I can't stand seeing Tozawa now on Raw or 205 Live not doing anything when him and Adam Cole, you know, killed it. But AEW, to me, I thought it went too long. I didn't really like the main event, but everything else I liked about AEW. But Evolve, to me, was the show of the weekend for me.
All right. Well, thank you for calling, and thank you for the nice segue over, because we're going to talk about some of that now as well. Thank you, Hansy. Always nice to hear from you, sorta. Okay.
I like his enthusiasm, though.
Well, he I like is. His enthusiasm. Yes, of course. He's a definite regular on the show. It is nice to hear from Hansy when we get to take calls. We're doing calls all night long. 1-866-729-2562. All right. Now, you and I did a lot of AEW last night, and I do want to get into that more in depth, but let's do that in the next segment. Hansy brought up Evolve.
Yes.
We haven't really talked about that together all that much, and definitely not to the public as of yet. We both got a sense of it today. Again, busy days. We didn't watch the entire event. But, I mean, I got a sense of it. Now, you know where I'm immediately going to go with this.
Well, the production.
The production,
yeah, production
is
values.
Very, very difficult for me to watch. And it was funny because in the car on the way here, I said it reminded me of old Ring of Honor, of which you brought up, well, of course, Agnew. Sapolsky's running it.
It is.
Like a giant light bulb went off on my head. I'm like, boy, I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
But what did you think of this show?
Well, it was interesting that the WWE would show it in the way that they did show it. Mm. And you know, they tried their best to make it look somewhat, and I understand your indie point. They tried their best to make it look a little bit above indie, but when any time they were telling you stories leading into the matches, and they would show the old Evolve footage, which was, you know, poorly lit in a gym somewhere, that to me really took you out of it and really showed how it was really just a small scale production. But the thing that I take most from Evolve is that, unlike AEW, when I saw their first show, I wanted to see more. I was enticed. I was excited. I was like, wow, these guys are trying to do something. And even though the show this weekend was not great and had a lot of problems, I'm still interested in that product, and I want to see where they're going. Watching the Evolve show, I have no desire to watch any Evolve. It didn't say, wow, this is something I've been missing out for years. I really should be watching this. I really should be checking these guys out. I didn't get that. I didn't. And to me, this is your chance. You're on the WWE Network, man. This is your chance to have a whole ton of eyes on your product that have not been on it before, mine included. And I was just kind of like, I wasn't incited. I wasn't. There was nothing saying, "Hey, man, you should be watching this."
I think part of it for me was seeing the commercials on Raw and really not having watched Evolve. And again, always having the production values in my brain first and foremost. I had to really remove my expectations, which I did not before I went in. And I mean, you know, I'm a big. This is going to be weird, but I'll get back to it. I'm a big baseball fan, right?
Mm-hmm, yes.
So you know, I'm watching MLB, and that's WWE,
right?
And then I go to watch, you know, the Bisons. If I'm a Jays fan, and that's kind of like NXT.
Right.
And now I'm dropping down to see the Fisher Cats here. I'm watching the AA franchise is basically what I'm watching of the WWE, with a couple guys on rehab assignments or a couple prospects that I'm looking at. But
yeah,
other than that, it's a whole bunch of people I'm probably not going to see again.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And I just didn't think they did enough with the show to really entice new eyes. And you have to take those chances when you're put in a spot like this, in the same way that AEW presented the last two shows for free. You have all these eyes. You really have to make a statement when you have this these people watching the product.
Okay, we're going to talk about some
of
their statements next.
I know.
Let's take a break, come on back, and get more into AEW, because after I've removed myself a day after watching it, I like it even less. Sunday night's main event, 1-866-729-2562. Phone lines are open, 1-866-729-2562. It is Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Hello, Gordy Levesque here. No one swings and hacks like I do. And no one struts quite like I do, too. And no one brews beer like Great Lakes do. Canuck Pale Ale, my beer, your beer. our beer. Available in over 400 LCBO and grocery store across Ontario for only $2.80. Great Lakes Brewery, brewed for you, Ontario.
If you're a fan of Sunday night's main event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
If I lose to the Hangman, where do I go from there? So I realized I have to beat the Hangman. 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 I have to beat the Hangman.
Welcome back, Sunday Night's Main Event. That was a small bit of what was a very long promo from Chris Jericho on last night's AEW Fight for the Fallen, of which he was bragging today, Mouth, that it was the first unscripted promo he's done in like 20 years.
Oh, okay.
Just because it's unscripted doesn't mean it's going to be good.
It doesn't, exactly.
Let me ask you, Dan Lavransky, what does this sound like to you? An event that runs too long, a female authority figure that flip-flops from heel to babyface at her convenience, and owners and bookers that place themselves in the main event of a show and feel the need to make it more than half an hour.
Yeah, I know. It reeks of WWE.
Doesn't
absolutely
it?
Yeah.
How there was
a lot of issues. Yes. Oh, no. You're absolutely right to call them out on this. This is something that they proclaimed from the start. You know, they made jokes right off the top about stuff like this. And yeah, here they were. There were several instances in this program where they did stuff. The ladder match challenge with the Lucha Brothers.
Oh, out of nowhere.
To the Young Bucks. Just came out of nowhere. There's no story. We don't even know what they... Well, I guess we know they're going to be for the AAA belt, so that's what's be hanging. But it came out of nowhere. There was no reason to have it. The Lucha Brothers finished their match, pull out a ladder, and challenge the Young Bucks. Thought that was kind of weird.
Yeah, this was... I don't know if you can say that there is something that is characteristic of AEW, but there is something that should go along with the mentality and what AEW is preaching. This show last night was not.
Yes.
I mean, all those things that I mentioned, too long, the Brandy flip-flop was weird, Cody and the Bucks, 30-minute main event. A lot of the matches, to me, seemed extended and long.
And even the Jericho segment. The way the Jericho segment was handled was really weird because he came out and attacked Adam Page after his match before we had even heard him talk or say anything. And then later in the show, he got to do a promo segment where he came out. And it should have been, to me, I thought he should have done the attack on Page and then done the promo right there.
Sure.
So it's all kept succinct into one package. I thought it was really weird that he came out later on and did the promo.
Or if he's out there later on, he starts the promo, it's very quick, and then Paige attacks,
Paige gets
to say something.
Right, that's the thing. Jericho should start talking, Paige quickly comes out to stop him, and yeah, then he gets to have his say.
I'm going to say something that a lot of people aren't going to like.
Oh, it won't be the first time.
Very true. Is it just me, or Adam Page does not seem like a guy I build my company around?
Well, I don't know. I'm a little bit different on Adam Page. I think I like him better than you do. Mm-hmm. I don't really have a problem with him being one of the top guys in the promotion. I mean, but it's all going to see how they book him once. Because, I mean, he's not going to win the match with Jericho, I don't think. I think Jericho's obviously going to be the first champion for the promotion. But to me, it really, how they book him coming out of that match is when we'll see how they treat him and what they do with him.
Couple other things. Dark Order, still not connecting. The Librarian characters, not connecting.
The Librarian thing is dying and dying hard. It seems the more they go along, the worse it gets.
I think it could have a turn. I actually do think it could have a turn.
I hope so.
But I do also think that Leva Bates is more valuable doing her cosplay characters. Mm. I just follow her on Instagram and I see her cosplay, and I think that there's a real connection to the that audience that they're also attracting.
And again, to me, this one, the way it evolved didn't make sense. It was, they at first didn't really like each other, and then all of a sudden they're kind of googly-eyed with each other, and now they're like a pair. And it didn't make sense to me how they came together. It just seemed to happen out of the blue.
Along with that, though, let's not be all terrible and bad about this, because there was some really good stuff that they did, and a lot of it, to me, was right around Sean Spears. I mean, he's really ditched the WWE stink off him. He's building programs with Darby Allin, MJF, and of course, he has that Cody program that is coming up as well. I thought that the booking in that match that Sean Spears was a part of was absolutely excellent. Another thing I think they're hitting a home run with is Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy. As something as simple as a boy and his dinosaur, and that entrance is killer, and both of these guys got crazy charisma. I don't know if I'm sold on Marco Stunt being a part of their little tandem yet.
Right.
But perhaps it could be. Maybe Stunt and Jungle Boy are the ones working and Luchasaurus is on the outside. Luchasaurus, though, came across as a superstar. The ability to market around this team is incredible, and I think they're doing a hell of a job with that. So not all bad.
And I don't know if this is their influence, but there used to be a great comic book when I was a kid called Devil Dinosaur, and it was basically a boy and his dinosaur.
Really?
Yeah, and I have no idea if that was part of the influence for this whole thing, but that's what it makes me think of, which is kind of funny. One thing we should touch on, and we talked about this extensively on our podcast that we did afterwards, but they still haven't got their commentary team down. I hate to say it, but JR is just not cutting it, man. I just don't think he fits in with this product, and I don't like Alex Marvez either. The fact that he just came up with some of the most ridiculous facts commentary.
The ladder is the color of AEW.
Yeah,
one of the fun things I did find, though, Mouth, is JR continually shutting down Alex Marvez's idiotic comments.
He did. There was the other one, too, where he said Shima was going to defend the honor of 1 billion Chinese or something in his match against Kenny Omega. But the commentary team really needs work. And if I want to praise one thing about Evolve, Lenny, who did the commentary, one person, one man, all by himself, the guy was fantastic. I thought that guy did a great job. He tried to give you the backstories, tried to fill you in on all the guys because it was the first time for a lot of people. I thought that was proof positive that even one guy, if it's the right guy, can get it done.
Also, I never, ever need to see the outline of Jim Ross's penis again.
I don't know why they weren't behind a desk.
Well, the desk is on the other side, but they need to make him stand up like they do on Raw if they need be, so they can shoot him waist up.
Because
that shot, all it was... it was unflattering, and it was guts and nuts.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I saw in that shot, and it was just... terrible.
Yeah.
Let's go to one call before we gotta take a break, Mouth, and that is going to be on the line from Maryland. Randy wants to chat. Hey, Randy.
Hi.
What do you got in your mind?
Okay, I thought AEW was okay. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't really good. And I think I would rather wait to the TV show, because that's when you're going to see the storylines and the characters evolve through the TV show.
Right, right. Yeah, it's hard now with being the Elite and the little vignettes that they do, because they're very short. They can only do little bits and pieces. I'm very curious, too, Randy. That's the number one question for me, is how do they do their stories on the TV?
And I think that, along with that, All Out is kind of like, the launch of them going into their fall season.
That's right.
That is a very important event. I'm not writing them off or anything like that. I'm just saying the mentality that they've been preaching wasn't there last night.
No,
you know what I mean, Randy?
Yeah. Can I just ask one more question?
Yeah, man.
The Chelsea Slammiversary, I thought it was a pretty good show.
I've heard good things.
Yeah, unfortunately,
I did not take time out.
I have not seen it as well. I heard good things about it. A lot of people are telling me that Impact is on the upswing.
Okay, yeah, because I'm a fan, but I just never hear nobody talk about it no more, so...
Yeah, that's unfortunately just because of Impact not having the penetration, being on the Pursuit channel. Now, granted, there was talk last week, and we chatted about it last week on this show, about them inking a deal with Access, and if there's any, fire to that smoke that's out there, hopefully that does happen for Impact, and hopefully they do get, a bit more penetration into the marketplace and people start watching again. Unfortunately, though, it's just, you hear that name now, and immediately it's just associated with failure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for the call, Randy. Much appreciated. Nice hearing from you. It did not take time out to do Slammiversary. And, the reason why I did not and we did not is because I did go out of my way to watch the last pay-per-view that they did, and I did a show about it and got No feedback.
Exactly. There was no response. Yeah, exactly.
So with that in mind, I'm going to do stuff that gets more feedback than all of you guys out there are watching. So that is what we're doing now. Here's what we're doing now. We're going to take a break. We're going to come on back. Dave Meltzer is on the other side of this. Turnbuckle Trivia as well. More of your phone calls and chatting about all the good stuff and the bad stuff that happened this week and this weekend in the world of wrestling. And hey, don't forget, this is Bischoff's debut week in WWE.
Yes.
So we can look a little bit forward as well. Lots to come. A whole other hour. Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio. Thanks for listening to Sunday night's main event. If you'd like to hear the second hour of the show, it's available right now at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Contributions start for as little as $4 a month, which works out to a buck a show if you're just listening to the weekly show, but we'll also throw in all the bonus content, including the Patreon-exclusive podcasts. So visit us right now at patreon.com/SNMEradio.